Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we have a critical mission.
A big one.
We're strapping in for a deep exploration of Uniswap V4. It feels like a radical re-architecture that promises to make liquidity provision not just cheaper, but truly programmable.
That's the perfect word for it, programmable. Right. I mean, if V3 was about concentrated liquidity, which was powerful, but let's be honest, often inefficient and expensive to manage.
Very expensive.
Then V4 is about changing the engine itself to solve those exact problems. So our goal today is to peel back the layers, show you how V4 gets these massive efficiency gains, and I think crucially, how hooks let anyone automate and customize their DeFi strategy.
Okay, and before we get into the nuts and bolts, we have to hit the headline number, the one that really sets the stage for everything else.
The big one.
The sources show that this new design is so efficient it can achieve an almost unbelievable 99% reduction in gas costs for just creating a pool.
A 99% reduction.
Yeah.
I mean, that number isn't just an optimization. It's a complete paradigm shift. It means the economic barrier to just trying things out, to experimenting and customizing has, well, it's essentially vanished.
So V4 is designed to be more like an open framework, turning these rigid protocol mechanics into flexible building blocks.
Exactly. For developers, for specialized liquidity providers, for everyone.
So let's frame this for you listening. We need to get our heads around two big concepts. First, the foundational architectural shift. How did they build V4 to be so efficient?
Okay.
And second, the customizable logic, the hooks, where we can actually write rules into the liquidity itself.
Yep.
Let's start with that foundation.
Absolutely. The foundation is where the money is saved.
Okay, let's unpack section one, the architectural breakthroughs. To really get V4, you have to look back at the core problem with V3.
You do.
Every single liquidity pool, an ETHI pool, some random altcoin pair, it was deployed as a completely separate, standalone smart contract.
And that fragmentation was the root of all the inefficiency. Every pool was just an island.
Right.
It required all these expensive external data calls, all these token transfers, anytime you wanted to do anything across different pools.
And the V4 solution, it addresses this head on with what they're calling the singleton design.
The singleton, exactly. Good. And that's the radical departure. Instead of pools being separate buildings, V4 consolidates all of them.
All of them.
All of them. Past, present, and future into a single massive master contract. It's called the pool manager. Think of it like turning dozens of tiny independent shops into one giant shopping mall.
Okay, my immediate thought, and I'm sure yours too, is security.
Of course.
If you put every single egg in one basket, doesn't that raise the risk profile exponentially?
That is the critical question, and the V4 team has stressed that the centralization is purely architectural. It's for efficiency.
Okay.
The assets and the accounting are still logically siloed inside that one contract. But you're right, the stakes are undeniably higher. A bug in the pool manager would affect everything, which just makes the audit and the security of that core contract absolutely paramount. It's a calculated risk, but it's for maximum efficiency.
Assuming that security holds, what are the immediate benefits of this consolidation?
Well, beyond the 99% reduction in pool creation cost, the main benefit is transaction speed.
Okay.
If you need to make a multi-hop swap, say, trading token A for token B, but you have to route through ETH.
A common scenario.
A very common scenario. V4 can process that entire swap inside the single pool manager contract. It doesn't need to physically transfer tokens out of one contract and into the next.
It keeps the tokens local.
Exactly. You save state changes, you save gas fees, every single step of the way.
Now, tied into the singleton structure is the really elegant part. Is how the protocol handles the accounting during a transaction. This is called flash accounting.
Flash accounting is incredibly clever. It's the real engine of gas savings during the swap itself.
How?
Well, the reason normal transactions on Ethereum are so expensive is that every time you transfer an ERC-20 token, you're writing a permanent change to the blockchain's state. You're changing the ledger.
And those state changes are the most expensive actions on the network.
Precisely. So flash accounting, it relies on a newer Ethereum standard, EIP-11153, which is all about transient storage.
Transient storage, like temporary storage.
Exactly like that. During a transaction, V4 does all the swaps, the fee calculations, all the internal math using this temporary transient storage. It just keeps a running tally.
So it's like using a temporary whiteboard for scratch paper during the trade.
Perfect analogy. The final expensive action, the permanent update to the blockchain, only happens once. at the very end of the transaction, when the net balances are settled.
So you're paying for one settlement instead of, what, three or four intermediate transfers?
Exactly. And that's where the massive transactional efficiency comes from.
That makes all this complexity seem highly worthwhile. And just to tick the box, the source has also noted V4 will support native ETH pairs directly. No more wrapping ETH to ETH for certain trades. It seems minor, but it's a very welcome quality of life improvement.
It is. It removes a step. It saves gas. It just simplifies the whole process. The goal is efficiency at every single layer.
So V4 is clearly the architecture of efficiency. But the real game changer, that's the customization.
Right.
Which brings us to section two, introducing hooks. This is where V4 goes from being just an efficient exchange to a programmable strategy layer.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a hook?
A hook is an external smart contract. It's written and deployed by third parties. I mean, anyone, really.
Okay.
And it can inject custom business logic into a V4 liquidity pool. Think of them like open source plugins that attach themselves to specific events in the pool's lifecycle.
And the granularity of control here is what's really revolutionary. It's not just a simple before or after switch.
Yeah.
The architecture has 8 distinct execution points where this custom logic can fire off.
The 8 points give a developer surgical control. You can inject logic
before
or after the pool is even initialized. So for setting up parameters, before or after a swap occurs. That's the most common one for things like dynamic fees.
Right.
Before or after liquidity is added.
So you could do like a whitelist check there.
Precisely. And then before or after liquidity is removed for post withdrawal actions or automated fee distribution, things like that.
That level of granularity means I can enforce a rule that says if the price drops below X during this swap, just cancel it.
Exactly. Or before I let you deposit, verify your external credentials. It turns the pool into a fully modular system. The logic isn't baked into the core protocol anymore.
It's external.
It's external, which allows for really rapid innovation without having to upgrade the whole Uniswap system every time.
Now, quick note on deployment. The sources explain that hooks aren't one size fits all.
No, they're flexible. They can be permissionless, open to everyone. They could be permissioned, so only approved contracts can use them. Or they can be completely custom, designed for just one specific pool.
And this is critical for you listening. Hooks are entirely optional.
So important to remember. If you deploy liquidity to a basic vanilla V4 pool, you get all the efficiency of the singleton and flash accounting without any of the added complexity or gas cost of hooks.
You only pay for what you use.
You only pay the gas for the hook's logic if you choose to participate in a pool that uses one.
All right, so let's get practical. Section three is the so what? I mean, what are the 5 game-changing use cases that hooks actually unlock for LPs?
This is where the value is created. This is the automation layer that concentrated liquidity desperately needed. Hooks finally let you build complex strategies directly into the pool itself.
So you're mitigating that insane complexity of V3 management.
Exactly.
Let's start with the most talked about one, dynamic fees. Why is this such a major risk mitigation tool?
Because V3 had fixed fees. So LPs would face huge levels of impermanent loss, IL, when the market was volatile.
And their fee was still just 0.3%.
Right, which might not adequately compensate them for that risk. A dynamic fee hook, on the other hand, it monitors market conditions like volatility or utilization, and it automatically adjusts the trading fee in real time.
So if volatility spikes?
The fee spikes. It directly compensates the LP for the elevated risk they are taking at that exact moment.
That immediately solves a huge structural problem. Okay, use case 2. This links the AMM model with features we usually see on centralized order books.
Yes. Limit orders and strategy automation.
This changes the trading landscape.
It really does. You can deploy a hook that acts as a guardrail. So instead of you manually watching the market, you set a rule.
Oh, wait.
When the price of ETH hits $4,000, execute a swap of my entire USDC position into ETH. You're embedding that sophisticated order right into the liquidity pool itself.
So this is automated dollar cost averaging?
Right.
Or even stop loss protection.
It's all of that. It's passive management using active rules. And use case 3 just builds on that. Active liquidity management, or ALM.
The rebalancing problem.
The rebalancing problem. A hook can automatically rebalance or adjust your concentrated liquidity range based on price movement, preventing your position from just becoming dormant.
Okay, that's huge. The fourth use case is critical for data integrity. Custom Oracle integration.
For any protocol relying on accurate price feeds, this is a big deal.
Hooks allow pools to basically reject the built-in Uniswap price feed and use a custom, more sophisticated one instead.
Like a WAP.
Like a robust, time-weighted, average price oracle, a TWAP. They're much more resistant to manipulation and front-running than just using the spot price of the last trade.
And finally, we have access control. Who needs this?
This is really aimed at institutional players or anyone dealing with regulatory requirements. A hook can enforce governance rules.
Like a whitelist.
Only whitelisted entities can provide liquidity. Or maybe a pool that integrates KYC verification before a user can even enter or exit. It's the mechanism that lets V4 interface with the regulated world.
The power of hooks is undeniable, but so is the complexity. If I'm just trying to be a smart LP, a learner, how do I access this professional level of strategy, without having to write my own smart contracts?
And that's the perfect transition to section 4, active liquidity managers.
ALMs.
ALMs are the bridge. They are third-party protocols designed specifically to absorb the complexity of V3 and now V4. They're the professional strategists who automatically manage your positions.
So they handle the rebalancing, the fee collection, the compounding.
All of it, based on pre-vetted, optimized strategies.
We've already seen these evolved in the V3 era.
Yeah.
The sources pointed to examples like Arrakis Finance, which specializes in that automated range management.
Right.
Gamma Strategies, using volatility to trigger rebalances, and Charm Finance, which does some really advanced options-based stuff.
And using these ALMs gives you immediate access to strategies that would otherwise require constant attention and, you know, massive gas expenditure to do manually.
There are trade-offs.
There are always trade-offs, and you have to fully internalize them.
Okay, so let's talk about them. The main risk is obviously smart contract risk. You're adding another layer on top of Uniswap.
You are. You're trusting your capital to a third-party ALM protocol. But the other big cost is financial.
The fees?
The performance fees. Absolutely. ALMs don't work for free. They typically charge a pretty substantial percentage of the fees your position earns.
How much are we talking?
Often in the range of 10% to 20% of fees earned.
10 to 20%. That is a significant chunk of your revenue.
It is. You are trading your full revenue for automated convenience. You have to believe their strategy is generating enough extra return to justify that cost.
Right. It's the cost of delegating complexity.
Mm-hmm.
But to show the value here, let's walk through that dynamic fee example again.
Let's do it. It really makes it tangible.
Okay. So let's visualize this. We have an ETH's DC pool. It's using a dynamic fee hook. The base fee is 0.05%.
And the hook is programmed to add a volatility multiplier. Let's say it adds 0.1% for every 10% of volatility in the market.
Okay, so scenario one, the market is calm, volatility is low, maybe 5%.
Right, the risk of IL is low, so the total fee is the 0.05% base plus the adjustment. Since 5% is half of the 10% threshold, the adjustment is half of 0.1%, so 0.05%.
Add them together.
Yeah.
The total fee for a swap is 0.10%. A reasonable fee for a calm market.
Exactly. Now, scenario two, a major macro event hits, volatility rockets up to 15%. This is when LPs are getting hammered by IL.
They're screaming?
They're screaming. The hook instantly recognizes this risk. The adjustment is now 15% divided by 10% times that 0.1% multiplier, which comes out to 0.15%.
So you add the 0.05% base fee back in, and the total fee is now 0.20%.
Correct. The LP is now being compensated twice as much as they were in the calm market, and four times the base rate.
At the exact moment, their risk is highest.
At the exact moment, that programmable risk compensation, that is the core value proposition of hooks.
That scenario perfectly illustrates the motivation behind V4. But as we enter section 5, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, security.
Yep.
Hooks are external contracts. Adding complexity inevitably introduces new risk.
New features mean new risk vectors. It's just a fact. Hooks introduce the possibility of bugs, malicious code, or even something called gas griefing.
Gas griefing.
Where a badly written or malicious hook intentionally drives up the transaction costs for other people in the pool.
Wow. Okay, so before anyone, especially a beginner, jumps into this powerful ecosystem, what is the mandatory security checklist?
Four non-negotiable best practices. First, verify the hook source.
Only use audited code.
Rigorously audited by multiple reputable firms. Second, test thoroughly. Never deploy significant capital to a new hook without first testing it extensively on a testnet.
Makes sense.
Third, start small. Assume the unexpected will happen. Deploy minimal capital at first. And fourth, Monitor closely. Automated does not mean absent. You have to monitor your position for any unexpected behavior.
That is essential advice. Okay, finally, let's talk V3 versus V4 migration. Should users just pull all their V3 liquidity and move it over the day V4 drops?
Absolutely not. V3 is a robust protocol. It's going to remain active and highly viable. V4 offers new capabilities, yes, but it comes with a steep learning curve and new layers of complexity, especially with hooks. The consensus from the sources is clear. Do not wait for V4 to master V3.
So the knowledge you gain in V3 is the prerequisite for V4.
It's the absolute prerequisite for succeeding in V4.
And once you have that V3 mastery, how should a beginner approach V4?
Start by interacting with hooks through those established audited ALM protocols we talked about. Delegate the initial complexity. Trying to code or directly engage with experimental hooks as a beginner is just, it's a recipe for expensive losses.
This deep dive has shown us that Uniswap V4 is truly an architecture of customization and efficiency. Let's distill the four most important takeaways for you.
First, that revolutionary singleton architecture combined with flash accounting. It drastically cuts gas costs. It makes everything from pool creation to multi-hop swaps incredibly cheaper.
Second, hooks enable unprecedented programmability. They let you inject custom logic for dynamic fees, for stop-loss orders, for sophisticated Oracle integration.
Third, those active liquidity managers are your gateway to professional V4 strategies. But you have to remember you're accepting added smart contract risk and performance fees that can slice 10 to 20% off your earnings.
And finally, because hooks are external contracts, security is paramount. Stick exclusively to audited hooks and test your positions on testnets before you commit any real capital.
You know, the sources really show the inevitable future of liquidity provision is automated and modular.
It seems so.
And if LPs can now fully delegate their strategy management to these specialized protocols, the ALMs, and to specific rules, the hooks, this creates a powerful centralization of capital and strategy.
Right.
Which raises a crucial question for you, the individual DeFi user. As you hand over that control, how critical does it become to deeply understand the underlying code logic and the economic models governing those ALMs?
That's a provocative question. In this new automated world, maybe the definition of passive investing means you have to be actively understanding the black box you're entrusting your money to.
Something to think about.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Uniswap V4. We'll catch you next time.